Wisconsin. This is Kristen Bry. My guest today has been and will continue to be for the rest of the hour, Matt Filipovich. And we're also joined by two very special guests because today is an anniversary. On August 12th, 1990, fossil hunter Susan Hendrickson discovered three huge bones jutting out of a cliff near Faith, South Dakota, and they turned out to be part of the largest T-Rex skeleton ever, and it was ever discovered, at least. And it's a 65-million-year-old specimen dubbed Sue that's now in the Field Museum. Mm-hmm. And so we were thinking, you know, South Dakota.
Come on, South. We've got better bones than South Dakota.
So we thought we'd reach out to some people over at the UWM Archaeology Research Lab. So Seth Schneider, who is a qualified human burial excavator, and Jenny Picard, who is also a qualified human burial excavator. And I am so fascinated. Like, you guys are the real this Jurassic Park people, right? Just go in there and brush out some bones.
Not quite Jurassic Park.
But yeah, I would love to know more about the lab and what are some of the crazy things that we've found in Wisconsin?
Well, probably around the same time period, around 1992, they actually discovered a mammoth down in Kenosha County. A farmer was having a drainage ditch dug, and the digger came across mammoth remains, and they started opening up more and more area, and or came across some large bones, started opening up more areas, and it turned out to be a mammoth. That's the Schaefer mammoth that can be seen down in Kenosha at the Kenosha Public Museum. And then a short time after that, another mammoth, which was found nearby, called the Hebier mammoth, was excavated, and we actually have 90% of the skeleton.
Oh, wow.
Of that mammoth, and a replica of that can be seen at it in the entrance at the Milwaukee Public Museum. And so that was that's the most recovered mammoth remains in North America. And so that's kind of a highlight for Wisconsin there. But also, too, with that particular find, they radiocarbon dated the bones, and the bones date back to 14,500 years ago. That's one of the earliest dates in the archaeological dates in the Americas.
And Seth, can I cut in just for a second?
Yep.
Because of the Jurassic Park reference, and this is something that unless you're in this world, the words archaeologist and paleontologist are kind of used interchangeably a little bit. And the difference is archaeologists deal with people. So if the mammoths had not had any evidence of human involvement, they would have been primarily of interest to paleontologists, the Jurassic Park, the Tyrannosaurus folks. But because these mammoths were butchered, by humans, then all of a sudden this paleontological site becomes an archaeological site. And what we have a lot more of in Wisconsin than paleontological sites are archaeological sites. And Seth and I both work at the UW-Milwaukee Archaeological Research Laboratory Center. We were recently made into a center for the university. So that's the distinction there. Because people were involved, it becomes an archaeological site.
Obviously I've always known both of those words, but as far as that specifically being the differentiator is like human involvement, now I know that and I'll probably never forget it. And so what was for both of you, as far as your interest, whether it was as kids or teenagers or in college or how you got into making this your life's work, why archaeology instead of paleontology?
Want to go, Jenny?
Sure. Well, as a kid, I was always interested in both. You know, kids go to the dinosaur exhibit at the museum. It's very exciting. Dinosaurs are very cool. No one would argue with that. But then I spending more time at the museum in the antiquities sections, Egyptology sections, things like that, and then also learning more about the art and pre-contact history of this place in which we live, I ended up pursuing archaeology because I'm just really interested in those human stories, human artwork, that sort of thing.
Absolutely.
And for myself, it was actually around the 10th grade in high school. We had to do a research on our college, what we wanted to do in college. And I thought I wanted to be a chemist, but I started looking into that more and more, and it made me reflect on where my strengths lied and my interests. And I finally figured out history was very interesting to me, and I liked Greek and Roman mythology and such, and found out that, you know, a lot of our knowledge about Roman besides written was also archaeology. And that's how I started to get interested in archaeology and wrote a paper on that.
That's so fascinating. So as far as when it comes to Wisconsin, what are some of the really rich areas where you guys are going and having excavations, and what are like some of the coolest things that either of you have been able to discover?
Well, Wisconsin archaeologically is actually really unique because we have some things, for the most part, outside of the Southwest, the archaeology in North America is under the ground, plowed fields, forested areas where soil builds up very quickly. You have to dig to see anything interesting. But Wisconsin actually has some surface indications of archaeological sites that are pretty unique that folks can actually go and see. Seth, I don't know if you wanted to talk about the effigy mounds or...
I was just about to say, yeah, and this is where... Wisconsin is, we're not the only state that has burial mounds or mound structures in them. But for Wisconsin, about between 500 BC all the way up to AD 1300, we actually have mounds being built, and all mounds in Wisconsin are considered burial mounds. I just want to make that distinction. And these mounds, and many of these mounds that we have in Wisconsin, are in the shapes of animals. And we do have one, we've had two mounds that were in the shape of humans. And one of those mounds is up in Sauk County, just east of Baraboo, Wisconsin. And you can actually visit that site. It's called the Man Mound. And you can visit that site. It's free. Sauk County actually runs the park. And it's free to go and visit there. But a number of these, there's also state parks, many state parks around Wisconsin that have these mounds associated with them. And one of those is up in West Bend, and it's the Lizard Mounds State Park. And then also you can go out to Western Wisconsin and visit Wyalusing State Park and see... a number of different mounds out in those areas. So that's really, and these effigy mounds are pretty much specific to Wisconsin. That's the interesting aspect. And so you don't see, there's a couple of mounds across the nation that have animal forms, but the sheer number of of these effigy mounds in Wisconsin just was probably in the tens of thousands.
And why is it? What is the theory as to why this is so unique to Wisconsin?
Well, initially, a number of people thought that they might be resource markers, like because they're near wetlands or waterways, and so they might indicate, you know, if there was birds or quadrupeds or four-legged animals, that, you know, that these were the resources that could be found in those areas. Other people thought they might be also territorial markers to indicate where people could go or where to travel to for the next, you know, people were probably moving around a little bit more and to gather resources. And so, but recently, Dr. Amy Roseborough, who is the assistant state archaeologist, just finished her PhD and wrote an article indicating that you actually see different forms in higher quantities. Like in the Madison area, you see a lot of bird effigies. When you come to Southeast Wisconsin, you see a lot of what they call the water panther effigies. And these are effigies that have really long, they look like cats with really long tails.
Hmm.
What Amy came up with, and Jenny, correct me if I get this wrong, Amy saw these as clan markers or group markers. So when you see a bird effigy in southeastern Wisconsin, it was probably somebody from the Madison area moving into southeastern Wisconsin and becoming part of that group, and vice versa. So it was a way of marking your symbolism of who you were, and then it got transferred in some cases to different parts of Wisconsin.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. The only thing I had some questions, but they were probably more for paleontologists. I was going to ask you guys about the controversy of the whole Brontosaurus controversy, where like for a while there was Brontosaurus and then they weren't Brontosauruses anymore. And there was a Apatosaurus, and now Brontosauruses are back. But I guess that's not you probably know it because you both seem very smart. But that was my big gotcha question. I was going to go after you guys. But,
I wouldn't be able to answer that one. I'm curious about that as well. So we'll have to find somebody to answer that question.
we do have fossils from the time of the dinosaurs in Wisconsin, and we will come across them sometimes when we're digging. They're water creatures because Wisconsin was mostly underwater during that time, which is why we don't have, you know, T-Rexes to find. Yeah.
What is that process like? So you're out and you're digging and you're brushing things off, and so what is the point at which you're like, oh, this is a dinosaur bone, or like when you have, you're like, you pass it off to someone else, like is that how it works as far as who's it's like a crime scene where it's like, well, is this a federal, is it like the feds, or is this the state local police? It's like who gets the territory of when you start to find something that's like,
this is my case,
it's something.
You know, archaeological sites are much more common than paleontological sites, especially around here with the glaciation and everything else. So when we do find those sea creature fossils, they're usually not in their original location. So they're not to say that they never are. There certainly are formations here where they are. But, you know, a lot of times they're just not of that much interest to paleontologists. The glaciers really did a number on the older stuff. Most of the time it's our purview. And there are actually a number of laws that cover archaeological excavations. Wisconsin has a burial sites law. And then there are federal laws, federal historic preservation laws, section 106 of the National Historic Preservation Act, the Native American Graves Protection and Removal Act. And these govern those sorts of excavations. They mandate that archaeological investigations be done before certain development projects, that sort of thing.
But how we know about archaeological sites is a lot of times interacting with local people that have walked through agricultural fields and have found artifacts. Also, a lot of people like Charles E. Brown, who was our first state archaeologist, traveled all over Wisconsin to the individual counties recording this information. And we have a lot of historical documentation that points to where archaeological sites might be as well.
Amazing.
And we use a lot of that information currently to help us to identify where significant sites are located.
Well, fabulous. Well, thank you so much for taking time to, one, I guess, explain to us the difference between paleontology and archaeology, because now we know that. But obviously, like, is there anything as far as people open to the public, what you guys do over at UWM and the Archaeology Research Lab?
Seth was mentioning some of the state parks. We do occasionally have public archaeology days here. We had one earlier this summer at Lake Park that Seth was in charge of. I don't think we have anything on the calendar for us right now. There are various state parks that you can visit.
We have to go to a break, but thank you so much for joining us today, Seth Schneider and Jennifer Picard. Thank you so much. This was wonderful.
You're welcome.
I learned a lot. We'll be right back. We'll take a break. When I'm alone in my